you love right here on VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver and John Russell. Later, Armin Kasabian answers a question from a learner in the latest Ask a Teacher. We close our show with an American story. This week, it is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving. But first,
China's government is facing growing criticisms about the country's vaccines and its early COVID-19 actions. Now, some experts say the government is spreading dangerous misinformation to deflect that criticism. Chinese state media have recently published stories suggesting that Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine may not be safe. The vaccine passed through several safety trials last year as part of an approval process. Last week, a Chinese official spoke about a theory that the new coronavirus may have come from an American military lab. Such issues are getting media attention because of the rollout of vaccines worldwide. Also, a World Health Organization team recently arrived in Wuhan, China, to investigate the beginning of the virus. Some of these theories are finding a wide audience within China. For example, the social media hashtag America's Fort Detrick was seen 1.4 billion times last week. Fort Detrick is a biological weapons laboratory in the U.S. state of Maryland. The Communist Youth League created the hashtag after a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson suggested the virus came from the lab and urged the WHO to investigate.
U.S.-based reporter Fang Shimin said the media activity is an effort to move blame for the health crisis from China to the United States. Fang is known for reporting on dishonesty in China's science industry. The tactic is quite successful because of widespread anti-American sentiment in China, Fang said. Yuan Zeng is an expert on Chinese media at the University of Leeds in Britain. She said the government's stories spread so widely that even well-educated Chinese friends have asked her if the reports might be true. Creating doubts and spreading unproven theories might add to public health risks as governments try to reduce unease about vaccines, Yuan added. That is super, super dangerous, she said.
Chinese state media called for an investigation into the deaths of 23 old people in Norway after they received the Pfizer vaccine. CGTN, the English language station of state broadcaster CCTV, and the Global Times newspaper accused Western media of ignoring the news. Health experts say deaths unrelated to the vaccine are possible during mass vaccination campaigns. WHO investigators found that the vaccine did not play a part in the Norway deaths. The state media coverage followed a report by researchers in Brazil who found a Chinese vaccine to be less effective than expected. Researchers at first said Sinovac's vaccine was 78% effective, but the scientists changed that to 50.4% after including cases of minor sickness. "It's very embarrassing for the government," Fang said in an email. As a result, China is trying to raise doubts about the Pfizer vaccine and increase support for its own vaccines, Fang said.
Top Chinese government officials have openly voiced concerns about the mRNA vaccines developed by Western drug companies. They use a newer technology than the more traditional method of the Chinese vaccines currently in use. In December, the director of the Chinese Centers for Disease Control, Gao Fu, said he cannot be sure that mRNA vaccines do not cause risky side effects. "There are safety concerns," he said. The Pfizer mRNA vaccine and another one developed by Moderna have passed trials in which they were tested on more than 70,000 people. The WHO team's arrival in Wuhan has led to a renewal of accusations that China failed to deal with the virus early enough. Critics say the lack of action permitted COVID-19 to spread worldwide. They note that Chinese officials even punished doctors who tried to warn the public about the virus. The WHO researchers began fieldwork this week after being released from a 14-day quarantine.
The Communist Party sees the WHO investigation as a political risk, said Jacob Wallace. He is a senior expert at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. The party wants to move attention away from the investigation. It is doing so by changing the story on where responsibility lies for the emergence of COVID-19, Wallace said. Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Hua Chunying added to that effort last week by urging the WHO to also investigate the U.S. military lab. State media have made note of past events at the lab, but China has provided no hard evidence of a link between the lab and the appearance of the coronavirus. "If America respects the truth, then please open up Fort Detrick and make public more information about the 200 or more biolabs outside of the U.S. And please allow the WHO expert group to go to the U.S. to investigate," Hua said. State media published her comments. They became one of the most popular issues on China's Sina Weibo.
China is not the only government to blame the pandemic on other countries. Former U.S. President Donald Trump often tried to reduce blame for his administration's actions during the crisis. He said last year he had seen evidence the virus came from a Wuhan laboratory. Many experts think that theory is unlikely. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Italy reopened its famous antiquarium this week. The museum was created to keep and show objects from the ancient city of Pompeii. Life in Pompeii ended almost 2,000 years ago, after a massive burst of the nearby Mount Vesuvius volcano. The city was quickly buried by ash and lava. Many people were immediately killed. In fact, scientists found some human remains had turned to glass because the heat from the explosion was so intense. For many years now, specially trained scientists called archaeologists have been digging in the area that was once Pompeii. It is now an archaeological park. The antiquarium was created in the 1870s as a place to keep the findings. For many years, visitors were able to see some of the frescoes unearthed by archaeologists, as well as everyday objects that the people of Pompeii used. Bombings in World War II damaged the museum. Then, in 1980, a deadly earthquake shook the park. Officials were forced to close the antiquarium. It had remained closed until now. Current COVID-19 restrictions bar most people from visiting the newly reopened museum. Only visitors from Italy's Campania area, which includes the city of Naples and the Pompeii ruins, are permitted to enter. Pompeii has long been one of Italy's top tourist sites. When the tourism industry fully reopens, admission to the ruins will also include a visit to the antiquarium. The reopening of the museum after so many years is a sign of great hope during a very difficult moment, said Pompeii's longtime director, Massimo Osanna. On show in the last room of the museum are casts from the remains of some of Pompeii's citizens. Osanna said that part of the museum is emotionally powerful for him. Much of ancient Pompeii remains to be discovered at the park. Although tourism has halted during the pandemic, archaeologists have kept working. Just 1 month ago, Osanna announced the discovery of an ancient fast food restaurant at Pompeii. Archaeologists were able to fully uncover the eatery. The find helped researchers learn about the food Pompeii's citizens enjoyed. Researchers even discovered what was for sale at the restaurant on the day the lively city met its explosive end. I'm John Russell.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Jack, who is in China. Hello. We use the word strong to describe a person and a team. Can we use it to describe a country? Dear Jack, as you know, strong is an adjective. It describes something that has power, or something that cannot easily be broken, damaged, or destroyed. You are right. English speakers use the word strong to describe a person or a team. We can also use it to describe a country. However, describing something with the adjective strong does not necessarily mean it is good. strong, can describe things that are good or bad. In fact, almost anything can be strong. For example, people can be strong. But things like teeth, bones, and muscles can be strong too. The wind can be strong. Here is an example.
The weather report says there will be strong winds tomorrow.
Strong can describe feelings also. You can have a strong feeling about someone, some event, or issue. You may even feel you know what may happen in the future. Like this.
I have a strong feeling about our team winning the championship.
Strong can also be used to describe bad qualities. For example, imagine you painted a room and your friend comes in and says,
"The paint smell is too strong. Open the window, please."
Strong can mean something that is hard to fight against. Many students might understand this example.
When I sit in the classroom for a long time, I have a strong desire to sleep.
So, the adjective strong can be used to describe good things and bad ones, too. Well, Jack, we hope this helps to answer your question. And to our listeners everywhere, what question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Armin Kasabian.
Today's story is called The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It is about something strange that happened long ago in a valley called Sleepy Hollow. It was written by Washington Irving. The story is told by Doug Johnson.
The valley known as Sleepy Hollow hides from the world in the high hills of New York State. There are many stories told about the quiet valley, but the story that people believe most is about a man who rides a horse at night. The story says the man died many years ago during the American Revolutionary War. His head was shot off. Every night he rises from his burial place, jumps on his horse, and rides through the valley looking for his lost head. Near Sleepy Hollow is a village called Tarrytown. It was settled many years ago by people from Holland. The village had a small school and one teacher named Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane was a good name for him because he looked like a tall bird, a crane. He was tall and thin like a crane. His shoulders were small, joining two long arms. His head was small, too, and flat on top. He had big ears, large, glassy green eyes, and a long nose. Ichabod did not make much money as a teacher, and although he was tall and thin, he ate like a fat man. To help him pay for his food, he earned extra money teaching young people to sing. Every Sunday after church, Ichabod taught singing. Among the ladies Ichabod taught was one Katrina Van Tassel. She was the only daughter of a rich Dutch farmer. She was a girl in bloom, much like a round, red, rosy apple. Ichabod had a soft and foolish heart for the ladies, and soon found himself interested in Miss Van Tassel. Ichabod's eyes opened wide when he saw the riches of Katrina's farm. miles of apple trees and wheat fields, and hundreds of fat farm animals. He saw himself as master of the Van Tassel farm, with Katrina as his wife. But there were many problems blocking the road to Katrina's heart. One was a strong young man named Brom Van Brunt. Brom was a hero to all the young ladies. His shoulders were big, his back was wide, and his hair was short and curly. He always won the horse races in Tarrytown and earned many prizes. Brom was never seen without a horse. Sometimes, late at night, Brom and his friends would rush through town shouting loudly from the backs of their horses. Tired old ladies would awaken from their sleep and say, "Why, there goes Brom Van Brunt leading his wild group again." Such was the enemy Ichabod had to defeat for Katrina's heart. Stronger and wiser men would not have tried, but Ichabod had a plan. He could not fight his enemy in the open, so he did it silently and secretly. He made many visits to Katrina's farm and made her think he was helping her to sing better. Time passed, and the town people thought Ichabod was winning. Brom's horse was never seen at Katrina's house on Sunday nights anymore. One day in autumn, Ichabod was asked to come to a big party at the Van Tassel home. He dressed in his best clothes. A farmer loaned him an old horse for the long trip to the party. The house was filled with farmers and their wives, red-faced daughters, and clean, washed sons. The tables were filled with different things to eat. Wine filled many glasses. Brom Van Brunt rode to the party on his fastest horse, called Daredevil. All the young ladies smiled happily when they saw him. Soon, music filled the rooms, and everyone began to dance and sing. Ichabod was happy dancing with Katrina as Brom looked at them with a jealous heart. The night passed. The music stopped, and the young people sat together to tell stories about the Revolutionary War. Soon, stories about Sleepy Hollow were told. The most feared story was about the rider looking for his lost head. One farmer told how he raced the headless man on a horse. The farmer ran his horse faster and faster. The horseman followed over bush and stone until they came to the end of the valley. There, the headless horseman suddenly stopped. Gone were his clothes and his skin. All that was left was a man with white bones shining in the moonlight. The stories ended, and time came to leave the party. Ichabod seemed very happy until he said good night to Katrina. Was she ending their romance? He left feeling very sad. Had Katrina been seeing Ichabod just to make Brom Van Brunt jealous so he would marry her? Well, Ichabod began his long ride home through the hills that surround Tarrytown. He had never felt so lonely in his life. He began to whistle as he came close to the tree where a man had been killed years ago by rebels. He thought he saw something white move in the tree. But no, it was only the moonlight shining and moving on the tree. Then he heard a noise. His body shook. He kicked his horse faster. The old horse tried to run, but almost fell in the river instead. Ichabod hit the horse again. The horse ran fast and then suddenly stopped, almost throwing Ichabod forward to the ground. There, in the dark woods, on the side of the river where the bushes grow low, stood an ugly thing, big and black. It did not move, but seemed ready to jump like a giant monster. Ichabod's hair stood straight up. It was too late to run, and in his fear, he did the only thing he could. His shaking voice broke the silent valley. "Who are you?" The thing did not answer. Ichabod asked again. Still no answer. Ichabod's old horse began to move forward. The black thing began to move along the side of Ichabod's horse in the dark. Ichabod made his horse run faster. The black thing moved with them. Side by side they moved, slowly at first, and not a word was said. Ichabod felt his heart sink. Up a hill they moved above the shadow of the trees. For a moment, the moon shone down, and to Ichabod's horror, he saw it was a horse. And it had a rider. But the rider's head was not on his body. It was in front of the rider, resting on the horse. Ichabod kicked and hit his old horse with all his power. Away they rushed through bushes and trees across the valley of Sleepy Hollow. Up ahead was the old church bridge where the headless horseman stops and returns to his burial place. "If only I can get there first, I am safe," thought Ichabod. He kicked his horse again. The horse jumped onto the bridge and raced over it like the sound of thunder. Ichabod looked back to see if the headless man had stopped. He saw the man pick up his head and throw it with a powerful force. The head hit Ichabod in the face and knocked him off his horse to the dirt below. They found Ichabod's horse the next day peacefully eating grass. They could not find Ichabod. They walked all across the valley. They saw the footmarks of Ichabod's horse as it had raced through the valley. They even found Ichabod's old hat in the dust near the bridge. But they did not find Ichabod. The only other thing they found was lying near Ichabod's hat. It was the broken pieces of a round orange pumpkin. The town people talked about Ichabod for many weeks. They remembered the frightening stories of the valley. And finally, they came to believe that the headless horseman had carried Ichabod away. Much later, an old farmer returned from a visit to New York City. He said he was sure he saw Ichabod there. He thought Ichabod silently left Sleepy Hollow because he had lost Katrina. As for Katrina, her mother and father gave her a big wedding when she married Brom Van Brunt. Many people who went to the wedding saw that Brom smiled whenever Ichabod's name was spoken, and they wondered why he laughed out loud when anyone talked about the broken orange pumpkin found lying near Ichabod's old dusty hat.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.